Colossians chapter 1. Friday night was pretty incredible here. It spurred what I'm speaking about this morning. So this isn't really a message that's been studied a lot. It's just something that's been birthed out of my spirit. And I want us to focus this morning on a few scriptures. And I think they'll bless us. And we just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless and to minister to us today. And let the anointing of God come and speak to our hearts. Bring us into a depth of revelation of who You are, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things we're going to talk about this morning is the preeminence of Christ. How many know what the word preeminent means? It's pretty self-explanatory, but it's a paramount, means to be paramount rank, in other words, the highest rank possible. It means to be outstanding. It means to suppress or go past all other things and to become very distinguished. So if someone is preeminent, you can say they're very distinguished. They're very exalted. They're lifted up. And we're going to talk about the preeminence of Christ. But we're also going to talk about the incredible revelation that we find in 1 Corinthians, 1 Colossians, or 1 Colossians. There is no 1st and 2nd Colossians. Believe me, I did wake up this morning. It's what I've been drinking since then has been giving me problems. Colossians chapter 1. Most of us make it out of bed. It's just what we do between bed and the rest of the day that are the issues. I'm kind of zonkered in the Lord this morning. Verse 27, and I'm going to read this and go back to it here in just a minute. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So what he's talking about, a mystery. And we know, we look in the Scripture, New Testament, we hear a lot about the mystery of the gospel. And many people are still looking for the mystery of the gospel, see what that is. But it's pretty self-explanatory because he goes on and tells us what it is. He said, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That one statement is so significant because it really blows the mind of those that try to make God some God that's removed from us. And Paul was addressing the church about this issue because there had been a deception that had come into the church to separate them from the God that he knew. See, the spirit of religion is a spirit of separation. The spirit of man is a spirit that's separated from God. And when we look at Christ, we see that what Christ came to do was to bridge the gap of separation. It's a mediator. He's come to reconcile, to bring two parties together that were once estranged back to be one. It was God's intention to always be one with you. It was God's intention for you to be one with Him. There was a separation that took place, and we're well aware of that, the separation of man and God. But when Jesus Christ came, He bridged the gap of separation. He became the mediator of this covenant that God wanted enacted upon the earth. In the meantime, there was a lot of other covenants and a lot of other things that got put in the mix. But when Christ came, He straightened the whole thing up. He brought an end to the confusion. Because now He says, because of what I've done, because of what I came to do, you now have a Father that you can call Abba. So it's through Christ that intimate relationship was established. And let's go back over and begin to look in verse 15. And we're going to just kind of brush through some of this today. And I just pray the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts by revelation. For He is the image of the invisible God. Everybody say, He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. That's powerful. Because He's saying that this God that no one knows, no one sees, that when I came and revealed Myself in the flesh, when I was born in the flesh, when that word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now we say, what does God look like? He looks like him.
Amen.
And the relationship that Jesus had to the Father was so incredible because he was totally one with him. He established a bar that's very hard to achieve. Because for us to say we want to be one with God, we almost border on the verge of insanity, or at least audacious, in saying, hey, I want to be one with God. And most people, when they look at you or hear you say that, they begin to question you. Because for us to make that statement is very bold, isn't it? Hey, I want to be one with God. Because if you're one with someone, then everything that they are has become a part of you. It's like in marriage, when two come together, they were once separate, but now they've become one flesh. So once you had two identities, now you have one identity. That's the proper progression of marriage that we often don't see, but that's what it's supposed to be. It's the same thing in the church. When Christ came, he came to marry the church. To make you one with the Father. So he is the image of God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How many times have we said that? If you've seen me, he says, you've seen the Father. This is the Father. And when I look at that, I get very excited. Because there's just nothing that can compare in any religion in the world with that statement that I am the image of God. The very representation of God. The wildness of this is that whole process is being repeated now.
Come on. Truth. We are. Right?
Because what Christ came to do, he came to do it and to express it through a people. That's you. It's me. He came to reveal the Father to you so that in turn you become a revelation of the Father. That sure takes us up out of our childhood in a hurry, doesn't it? When you begin to get this revelation, it takes you out very quickly from your problems. Because how can you have a problem if you are a representative of God? But I've got problems. Well, I do too. But my problems disappear in my revelation. Problems only rule your life because of lack of revelation of who you are. Once you have a revelation of who you are, problems are insignificant to you.
That's right.
They may still be there. Paul had problems. In fact, he says in one statement, hey man, we were even homeless. We were beaten. We were scourged. We were suffering. We were hurting. We were hungry. We were thirsty. That's problems, isn't it? So we drive down the street, we see some homeless guy out there. We may be driving by the Apostle Paul. I mean, he at one time was homeless. Jesus said, I didn't have a place to lay my head. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place. Would you call that a man with a problem?
Come on, preach your Bible.
Hello? But in the midst of this, Jesus and others were so triumphant and so incredible in manifesting the heart, the will, and the power of God to the earth that none of the problems were even measured back to them. So if your relationship with God is based upon your circumstances, and you're freaked out because of circumstances, you're simply saying, I have no relationship.
Come on.
Because relationships with him is so much greater than what the world would dictate to you that you are. I'm not making light of what you're going through. I've gone through a lot. How about you? How many here have never gone through anything in your life? Your life has been peachy perfect. Everyone likes you, loves you. You've never had a financial challenge. You've never had any kind of challenge with your job, with your relationships. But since the day you've born, it's been like waking up every day and singing, "Oh, happy day." Now, I would venture to say none of you could make the claim that you've had that kind of life. But all of you can make the claim that you are in the image of God. And because of that, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Because of that, there's nothing that will come near you, nor your dwelling place, nor who you are, and destroy you. You become an immovable force upon the earth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The greater one is in you. Everybody say, the greater one is in me. So I am the strength of God. I'm the intelligence of God. I am the wisdom of God. I'm the understanding of God. I'm the love of God. I'm the power of God. I'm all those things in Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you victorious? Yeah, you are. Everybody say, I'm victorious. So it pleased God to become one with his Son. He was the firstborn of all of his creation. And it says, for him, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Aren't you glad that you're a part of that inheritance? That if all those things are in God, and then you're in God, then you're in all those things. We walk around with this incredible knowledge of who we are. And it liberates us to understand the investment of God himself into the people of God. You're here this morning, all of you, including myself, because we've been bought with a price through the blood of Jesus. We're here this morning.
Amen.
You're not here of your own volition, of your own determination. You're here because God wanted you here.
Amen.
He wants you at this point in your life because this is the best point you could ever be at. But yet things are going to get better.
Come on.
Amen. I count all things as joy. Paul said the tribulations, the persecutions that I've been going through are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's about to be revealed within me. This great Christ, this God that's in you, is to be revealed through you. This preeminent firstborn of God, the image of God, this one that was before all thoughts were, was here. He was already in the heart of God. This one is here with you today. This Christ. And all this has been made possible through the blood of Christ because he made peace. See, the church needs to be in this hour. What does the church need to be above everything else to the world? Peacemakers. Instead, much of the church is consumed to become war makers.
Come on, preach it.
And then those that want to be peacemakers versus the war makers accuse them of being pansies. Well, Bill Hart's no pansy. I'm a peacemaker. Well, you need to become more violent against the things in the world that are wrong. No, I need to become the peacemaker.
Amen.
I need to become a reconciler. Amen. To bring two parties together.
Yes.
What did Christ do? He came and died so he could bring two parties together. So what makes the fact that your party is so much better than the other guys?
Come on.
What makes your sin more sanctified than the guy's sin out there that looks to be very vile?
Yeah.
Well, let's classify who's a sinner and who isn't. Do your actions qualify you to be righteous? How about the other guy down the street that his actions are a little more perverse than yours? How righteous is he? Is he more righteous than you or less? Well, you don't understand. If they would get right, then everything would be right. Now, when you get right, everything will be right. You're the problem, not them. The world is never the problem, it's the church. The Bible says when our obedience is complete, then God stands ready to judge all disobedience. So don't look at the world and say, look how vile the world is. Don't look at our own hearts and say, Lord, cleanse us. Let our hearts be right with you.
Amen.
So that when the world looks at us, they'll see the image of God.
Amen.
Not a false God representation. Is the church presenting false gods to the world or the true God? Are we presenting gods that are made after our own image? Or that are we presenting the God that was the firstborn of creation? That he was in the world reconciling all things unto himself. I love this. Verse 20. Verse 19. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Please God. How many want to please God? It pleased the Father that all the fullness was in him. But you know, you got to know that I'm going to say next. It pleases God that all the fullness is in the church. Because
yes.
See, when you read this, you have to read it with the caveat of understanding that all of this is intended for you too. Because you are that precious, redeemed people of God that he brought forth out of darkness and translated into light into his kingdom.
Amen.
And that all the promises of God are relevant for you and for us together. Wow. My responsibility is great. And yours is too. Because our responsibility is to show the image and the heart of God to the world.
Yes.
Not to show some perverted. I'm searching for the proper language. Not to show some twisted image of what we thought God was. Because of our, you see, we don't understand and we don't realize, and this is not to condemn, but the body of the church of Jesus Christ on the earth today is still in the process of coming out of Babylonian thinking.
Amen.
Babylonian thinking means that the church, the Babylonians, what they did, they were so deadly to the children of Israel because they infiltrated the children of Israel with the humanistic philosophy. Married together. So instead of viewing things through the eyes of God, they begin to view things through the filtration of what humanity brings to it. And the church in this hour needs to realize that we're pure, unadulterated word that's been sent from God, and there's a purity being manifested through us. And we don't need to have the filter and the lens of past religious experience. That's why I've always been radical. Everybody knows me. Many years knows that I'm a radical, very radical. I'm always hair lipping something because if I can't do it in God, I'll do it in my flesh. Because I get the sometimes I get the runoff of the mouth disease. So, but anyway, at least I'm stepping out there and stirring things up because it's got to be stirred up. We've got to begin to see that we're not birthed in the spirit of religions, and we're not birthed in the things of the flesh, but we've been birthed from a word from God that came by the Spirit of God, and who received him gave the power of God to them.
Amen.
To become the sons of God.
Amen.
That's what the sons of God are doing. They're here on the earth to free the earth from its futility.
Yes.
Free religion from its futility.
That's it. That's our job.
We love him. And by him, to reconcile all things to himself by himself. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Now, don't take that scripture and become a universalist. The redemption that comes is for those, is for you, the believer. Your redemption and your continuation of who you are is determined by your willingness of acceptance of who he is. It's never a carte blanche reconciliation that, okay, I'm going to reconcile the world. I don't care what you believe, who you choose. Oh, you can believe Muhammad. You can believe Buddha. You can be an agnostic. You can be an atheist and a redeemed atheist. You can be all of those things. But. No, the condition is the reconciliation comes to those who've accepted the free gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There's not an ultimate reconciliation. Well, bless God, it doesn't make any difference. One day we'll just all wind up in the sweet by and by. That's not the issue. I'm not here to judge who's going to be there or not. I'm just telling you, you need to comply. Willingly, with the mind and the heart of God.
Amen.
This isn't a slacker deal.
Right.
It's not que sera, sera. We'll all make it someday in the end. Don't bet on that.
No.
Bet on this, that he is the firstborn of God.
Amen.
And that he has made you pure through the blood that he shed on the cross. And it's through your willingness and your openness to accept that provision that your reconciliation takes place.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Don't ever take yourself out of the fact you've got responsibility.
That's right. Amen.
The responsibility is to believe. That's all you got to do is just believe. This is simple. Believe. How hard is it to get in the kingdom of God? Just believe.
Amen.
That he is. And he's created a place for you. Now, I could take that as an ultimate reconciliation passage if it wasn't about 45,000 other passages that contradicted that mentality. He made you, reconciled you to himself. All things to himself through the blood of Christ on the cross. And you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh that through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved. How many are continuing in the faith? Steadfast, and you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. It's so beautiful to see how God, through Christ, is reconciling the world to himself through this principle, through this blood, through this gift that he gave, and how that because we received that, now we have it. And we become it. And how then we become the expression where this Christ is in us becomes a hope for the world to see. I love it when we love each other. How many like to love each other? It's pretty cool, isn't it? Friday, I was so blown away because it was one of those services where I just felt the drip of love. Everybody say the love drip. When you turn on the drip and the love just begins to flow. I was back in the kitchen with Joel and Cheryl. I was looking at them. Man, I love those guys. I'm looking at them. And Joel, even you looked good. I mean, Cheryl's always looking good. But I said, man, I love Joel and Cheryl Davis. Wow. freaking me out. I want to go up and grab them and just squeeze them. Because I felt such love. Then I came in here, and then this felt the same way about you guys that were here. Wow. I just want to love you. There's a Christ that's in you. It's a hope of glory in you. Squeeze you. See, that's how it gets to be. There's so much love that we just want to squeeze one another. I remember one time, Travis, stand up, Travis. I'm not going to do anything to you. Okay, turn around. Let everybody see you. This is Travis. And Travis and I were... Travis likes to take me out to eat because he's a good son. Good sons always take their papas out to eat. So we're at the Golden Corral. And, you know, we like to go to those places where you get to eat a lot. So Travis, we're outside the Golden Corral, and Travis grabs me. We're hugging each other. And he, like, kisses me on the neck, like he... And this always, we're like this, see? Two big old, and I was 30 pounds heavier then. And Travis was a little heavier then, too. Two big old boys out there in the parking lot. And this woman pulls up in her car. And we're standing here like this, you know? And she rolls down her window and she leans across it. It's so wonderful to see two men so in love. And Travis and me, our mouths were kind of like, And then she took off before we could say, hey, wait a minute. It's not what you think. Yeah, I'll for you all the live streaming. That was an illustrated sermon. Well, if you're going to be labeled something, you might as well be labeled it with your good friend, right? But that's how we love each other. We don't care what they think because we're just going to love each other. Amen. Two hairy guys kissing in the parking lot. What are people going to think? Well, we know. But we know it's the love of Christ, isn't it? That compels us. Yes. Amen. But only in Austin, Texas, because you have someone pull up and say, it's so wonderful to see two men in love like that. Isn't Austin weird? You know, as weird as Austin is, I love this city.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's Sin City, and maybe it's wicked, and maybe it's got weirdos in it, and freakos, and beatniks, and hippies. That's used to be, right? Okay. Maybe it's got all those things. But I think about Austin, and I think, how much does God love this city?
Amen.
Wow. I mean, even if all the other cities in the world were no longer, and there was only one city left to redeem, and God had to make a sacrifice for its redemption, I believe the Lord would have sacrificed the same thing for this city.
Yes. Amen.
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 He loved the world so much, he gave his life for it.
Yes.
And we as the church, we've got to love the world.
Yeah.
We've got to love the world with all of its wrong and all of its pimples.
Yes. Come on.
It's zits. We got to love the world, and even though it stinks most of the time, we still love it because Christ loved it so much he gave his life.
Amen.
For
right.
It. And we give our life not only for the world, but we give our life for one another. We love each other, and in that great love that we have, we prove to the world that we are his disciples. We show the world these people really do love each other. They're not separating over petty differences, petty issues, but they love each other so much that they're being transformed into something brand new. Amen. See, when you really love each other, we can speak the truth to each other in love. Sometimes love isn't always pretty. Sometimes it hurts to be in love with someone. In fact, most of the time it hurts. Because it's in loving people. A lot of things are revealed in that. Wrong attitudes, wrong positions, wrong thoughts, wrong deeds. And when those things are revealed to us, the wrongness of our heart in our love for someone else, then that has to be dealt with so there can be a pure flow of expression of God.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you, love is so great that it can cover a multitude of sins. You say, yeah, but you shouldn't cover the sin up. You should reveal it. I don't know about that. I just know that love loves so much that it covers.
Yes.
And it's something about when you take the sheet back into the tent of Noah and you lay the sheet so you don't look at his nakedness. Something about that that's so pleasing to God, because it's the heart of God saying, I love you.
Amen.
I know you're bad. I know that. I know you're wrong, but yet I love you so much.
Amen.
I'm not going to even point that out, because I know that in my love, it'll cleanse you and convict you. I'm more convicted of who I am and what I am, that it's not right within me when someone loves me, than I am than when someone challenges me. Because usually I become defensive in the challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know one of us here that doesn't get a little defensive when someone challenges us, right? But I know all of you here, when the love comes, it takes the defensiveness away. Because the love says, I accept you just where you're at. Does that mean you need to believe? Yes. Mean you need to turn your heart? Yes. But as far as my representation, I'm going to be like Christ. I'm going to love you.
Come on.
Even in the midst of your failure.
Yeah.
Knowing that that love is the only compelling thing that can change you to become what you are. That's the only thing that will change you. If you change your mind or you change your position because you know it's not approving to others, you'll never last in that change. But if you change because someone accepts you and loves you, that change can become real to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this mystery that was hidden from the ages, but now it's being revealed to the saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. I hope the Holy Spirit spoke something to us today, because I don't know if I said much, but I think the Holy Spirit was saying something very significant, very powerful to all of us. We the church, we the people of God. What an opportunity, what a glorious day we live in. Where sin is abounding, grace will much more abound.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When the nations are trembling, men's hearts are failing, our God will become Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. What a day we live in. This is the greatest day to be alive on the planet Earth. Because we have the greatest opportunity of any generation to love well and to demonstrate well the presence and the nature of God to the earth. You are a privileged, chosen generation. You are a people so honored by God that has pointed you and called you out to become reconcilers in this hour, to be ambassadors for Christ, to show his great and marvelous praise to the earth, that all creation may see who he is. You are a privileged people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Called by God, chosen by God, ordained by God, created by God, brought forth by God for this hour to declare his praises to the earth. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm happy to be a chosen one, called by God to do the will of God upon the earth. Hallelujah. Well, just as you receive Christ, walk in him. Rooted, verse 7 of chapter 2, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught abounding, do it with thanksgiving in your heart. For you are complete in him, in verse 10. For in verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. To God be the glory and the honor in the church. For Christ, this is your house. We are your people. We are your redemption. We're filled with your spirit. Amen. I love you guys. This is awesome, isn't it? Yeah, I liked it. How do you know when Papa's happy, everyone's happy? Or is that when Mama's happy, everyone's happy? Okay. Mama, okay. Hallelujah. Is that okay, Sue? I can say yeah. Papa, Mama. Well, Sue and I have been married 46 years. We've learned to make each other happy. Because we both learn. I've learned when Mama ain't happy, I ain't happy. And she learned when Papa ain't happy, she ain't happy. So we've learned to make each other happy. Amen. Hallelujah.